next public hearing is change of zone number 1637, East Market LLC.
Mr. Chairman, I've spoken to the attorney on behalf of this application, and he's going to do a presentation on both change of zone 1637 and conditional use 1775 as a combined presentation. Read both first.
That's it. Do I need to read it in?
No, I'll do it.
You got it? Okay.
Change of zone 1637 is the application of East Market LLC to amend the comprehensive zoning map from an AR1 agriculture residential district to a MR medium density residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County. The land lying at the southeasterly corner and the northeasterly corner of Warwick Road, also referred to as Road 310A, and Blue Claw Road, also referred to as Road 313A, to be located on 22.49 acres, more or less. We're also going to have presentation on conditional use number 1775, application of East Market LLC to consider the conditional use of land in a MR medium density residential district for multifamily dwelling structures, proposing 70 units to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 22.49 acres, more or less, lying at the southeasterly corner and northeasterly corner of Warwick Road, being Road 310A, and Blue Claw Road, being Road 313A. Gentlemen, you were provided with Volume 1, titled Indian River Retreat, and Volume 2, also titled Indian River Retreat. To be developed by Kevin Whitaker of East Market LLC. Booklets containing site data and preliminary site plan, site information, water service information, sanitary sewer service information, a letter of soils feasibility from DENREC. Reference to stormwater management and environmental assessment and public facilities evaluation and sketch plan. DelDOT entrance information. Reference to compliance with ordinance number 99-9C. Consolidated plus responses and plus letter of no objection. And environmental data, and it makes reference to dependencies. It's in the first slide. The appendices include the utility commitment letters, the phase one environmental site assessment, an on-site sewage subsurface exploration and laboratory testing, making reference to total maximum daily loads, a summary of endangered species and natural heritage assessments, an assessment of cultural resource report, and plus comments and responses. And they are a part of the record, and all the commissioners have copies. I also received duplication of some of that information, the information from DelDOT as far as the support facilities report in reference to the traffic impact. We received a Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division memorandum that makes reference to both applications combined, makes reference to the applicant, the location, that 70 units are proposed, that there's 22.49 acres, that the system of design assumption for sewage is for EDUs. Site is located in a proposed or current county operated and maintained sanitary sewer district, which is the Oak Orchard planning area. Ordinance 38 construction will be required. The system connection charge rate has not yet been established. Sewer service has not been extended to the parcel at this time. Is not available at this time in this area. The county does not have a firm schedule to provide sewer service. A schedule will be proposed in the North Coastal Planning Study. The parcel is not capable of being annexed into the county-operated sanitary sewer district at this time. The parcels do not adjoin an existing district. Conformity to the North Coastal Area Planning Study will be required. In additional comments, they state that the project is in the environmentally sensitive developing area near the Oak Orchard Sanitary Sewer District, and Sussex County is considering serving the entire project within the inland-based planning area for sewer service. The study is nearing completion. The study will develop options for sewer service and make a recommendation. The project proposes to develop using a private central community wastewater system. The engineering department opposes community systems in planning areas unless there are no other solutions. The county requires design and construction of the collection and transmission system to meet county sewer standards and specifications. A sewer concept plan must be submitted to the engineering department for review and approval prior to design of the sewer system, and a checklist for preparing the concept plan is attached. A review and approval of the treatment and disposal system by the county engineering department is required, and plan review fees may apply. We recommend that the wastewater system be operated under long-term contract with a capable wastewater utility that meets TMDL's limits for the inland base. In addition, we recommend they have a wastewater utility provider prior to approving the project. Wastewater disposal fields should not be counted as open space, and wastewater disposal fields should be clearly identified on recorded plots. When the county provides sewer service, it is required that the treatment system be abandoned and a direct connection made to the county system at the developer's and/or owner's expense. It then provides for a contact person and phone number, and that a concept plan is required, and that's signed by John J. Ashman, Director of Utility Planning. I did receive a copy by fax of a February 14, 2008 letter from the Division of Water Resources. It's addressed to the Environmental Consultants International. It makes reference that the department is in receipt of a preliminary soil investigation, is anticipating a detailed soil investigation report, which provides a much greater in-depth and comprehensive appraisal of the proposed development project. By way of this letter, the department conveys to whom it may concern that all requirements of Section 9 Preliminary Wastewater Treatment and Disposal Review of the regulations governing design, installation, and operation of on-site wastewater treatment and disposal systems have been met. Based on the findings to date, the department believes the proposed Indian River retreat would be feasible under the current criteria cited in the regulations governing the design, installation, operation of on-site wastewater treatment and disposal systems, dated January 4, 1985, as revised on April 11, 2005, and that was signed by John G. Hayes, Jr., environmental scientist. And we do have a copy, and it's a part of the packet of letters from the Office of State Planning Coordination in reference to the PLUS review. That was on Change Zone 1637. The rest of the comments, I believe, are the same. Let me double check. The comments from County Engineering, as I stated, were the same. I did receive a letter February 26, dated 2008, and we received it on March 10th. It's actually a Department of Transportation letter addressing Indian River Retreat, and it's referencing the Department of Transportation has reviewed the site plan for the reference project, has no objection as shown on the enclosed drawings, and noted that this letter is for entrance location only and does not authorize the commencement of entrance construction. So it is a letter of no objection as far as the entrance is concerned. We also have that. And I believe that's all I have, gentlemen, unless you have questions.
All right, sir, we thank you. And the chair recognizes Mr. Fuquay.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, gentlemen. For the record, my name is Jim Fuquay. I'm an attorney here in Georgetown, and I represent the applicant, East Market LLC. With me is Gary Couples from ECI, which are the site engineers and designers, and Mr. Whitaker, who is the principal of East Market, is apparently running late and the meeting's running quick, so I think he should be coming in probably during the presentation. As Mr. Lank stated, there was exhibits books that were submitted, which I believe you have copies of. And also, as Mr. Lank stated, there are two applications before you. The first is a rezoning application for a change of zone from the existing AR zoning to MR zoning. And the second is a conditional use application for a multifamily residential use. And I assume with your permission, I'm going to present all our information as part of this presentation and just incorporate that as the record of the second application. The land comprising our application contains 22.49 acres. It's located at the southeast intersection of Warwick Road, and it's located on both sides of Blue Claw Road. And the southern boundary of the property is the Indian River. The site is located just west of Warwick Park, Warwick Cove, and the Gulls Point developments. What's being proposed in this application is a total of 70 residential units. It'll be a mixture of single-family, duplex, and townhouse buildings, which would be operated under a condominium structure. The 70 units on the 22 and a half acres is a gross density of approximately 3.1 units per acre. The site as it exists today is mostly wooded. The development plan was designed to preserve a significant portion of the wooded area, and based on suggestions that were received at the PLUS meeting and the PLUS comments, modifications were made to the site plan to increase the preserved wooded area, and approximately 38% of the woods will be preserved basically in the existing condition with just some clearing of brush. The plan does provide for buffers along both the east and the west boundaries, and a minimum buffer of 50 feet from the Indian River shoreline. The total open space of the complete development, including both pieces, is approximately 15.6 acres, or about 70% of the total land involved in the application. There's one entrance, which would be located off of Blue Claw Road right here. In addition, there's also a gated emergency access entrance, which would be provided from Warwick Road, and they are both those locations are per DLDOT, and as Mr. Lank stated, there is a no objection letter from DLDOT, which is dated February 26, 2008, which is in the record. The emergency entrance, if you'll see on the site plan, you'll see right down in here. An access and an opening that would get to the road. Again, that would be gated and would not be used other than for emergency purposes. The developer will be granting DLDOT additional right-of-way along both Warwick Road and Blue Claw Road as they requested. And the location of the site, as you leave this site, the development has access by three different roads to Route 24, and those three roads would be Warwick Road, Gulf Point Road, and Rosedale Road. Sewer for the development will be addressed by a wastewater treatment and disposal system, which of course would be approved by DENREC. It would be located on the north parcel, the parcel on the north side of Blue Claw Road, and that would be operated by a licensed public utility company. There has not been a contract or agreement entered into yet, but in all likelihood, that would be Tidewater, Tidewater's company. Soil studies were performed by Atlantic Resource Management, and a statement of feasibility, as stated by Mr. Lank, was issued by the Division of Water Resources of DENREC, dated February 14, 2008. There is not a copy of that in the exhibit book. We had intended to put it in there, but it wasn't in there. I do have copies of that I'll give to Mr. Lank if you want to submit those into your book. Water for domestic use and fire protection will be provided by Tidewater Utility Company, a public utility company regulated by DENREC and the Public Service Commission, and other utilities serving the development would be electric by Delmarva Power, TV and internet by Mediacom, and telephone by Verizon. And again, in the exhibit book that was submitted, there are ability to serve letters in Appendix A of the exhibit book. There would be a homeowners association, or in this case, a condominium association, which would be made up of all owners of homes in the development. It would be the responsibility of that organization to enforce the restrictions, to collect dues that would be used for the management and maintenance of all common areas and recreational facilities. The site is in the Indian River Fire Company service area. They do have a station located in Oak Orchard nearby, and it's also in the Indian River School District. And shopping and services are available nearby, both to the east on Route 24 in the Long Neck area, which, as you know, is an area that's not only developed but has grown significantly in the last few years, and then also west on Route 24 in the town of Millsboro. A number of studies were prepared in planning the site development. They are also contained in the exhibit book that was submitted. They do include in Appendix B a Phase 1 environmental site assessment, which indicated no significant environmental issues regarding the land. In Appendix C was the soil investigation report by Atlantic Resource Management. Appendix D was an endangered species letter from the U.S. Department of Interior and Natural Heritage letter from DENREC. They indicate no adverse impact from the development. And in Appendix C, there was a cultural resource study that was done by Dr. Ed Otter. In addition, although this is not a subdivision, it's a change of zone application and a conditional use application, Mr. Couples did prepare a Section 99-9C subdivision letter, which is in the exhibit book under Tab 8. As you know, that information is really not just limited to subdivisions, but really addresses concerns that you would have on any type of development, so I think it's a good summary of those issues. And in addition to that, an environmental assessment report was prepared in accordance with the Environmental Sensitive Development Area Overlay Ordinance, and that is also in the exhibit book at Tab 6. As I indicated, the parcel is in the Environmental Sensitive Development Area under the existing Sussex County Land Use Plan. The Environmentally Sensitive Development Area is a designated growth area under the Comp Plan. The site is in a Level 3 area under the State Strategies for Spending Plan. And a little unusual situation here, but there's a letter in your file from, let me back up. You have the original plus comments, and then Mr. Couples responded to the plus comments. And then there's a response to the response from the Office of State Planning. And that letter is dated September 20th, 2006. And I've read this letter at least a dozen times over the past year and looking at different things. And that letter does state that the state had objections to the development of the property. However, through comments from agencies, we did have concerns and/or recommendations regarding the development of the property. Now, I read that and it just didn't sound right to me, but I'm kind of used to getting letters from the state planning office saying that they object to the application. So it really didn't register with me until just today. And I read it again. I said, well, it just doesn't make sense. They say they object to it. However, they have recommendations and comments. So Mr. Couples called up there today and asked them to look at that. And they did call back. And I think I got an email I think Mr. Johnson might have got a copy of this also, and I think Mr. Katz might have gotten a copy of this, or maybe you don't even know you got it yet.
I did.
Did you get it? The letter said, from the PLUS office, that it was incorrectly stated in the letter that they had objections to the project, and the sentence I just read should have had a no in it. So the letter, as it actually should read, states that the state had no objections to this development. So I would ask the Lank if he would. Yeah, it's a small typographical error, but it's
big difference.
So again, it was in a Level 3 area, and that's why I never understood why the state was objecting to it, and they're not objecting to it. The
The proposed development, we believe, is consistent with the mixture of development that already exists in the area. This is just an area map showing 2 miles from the site. Here's the Indian River here. The site is right here. And, of course, to the east of the site is the Oak Orchard area, which, as you know, Oak Orchard, Riverdale, that area is a very residentially developed area. In our immediate area right in here, just to the east of us is Warwick Park, which is a established residential AR subdivision. Closer to us is Gull Point, which is zoned HR and Marine. And if you recall, Marine is permitted to be developed at HR density, 12 units to the acre. Gull Point is a build-out condominium townhouse type of development. Next to Gull Point is the state boat launch and parking lot. And next to the parking lot was a small condominium development that I was involved in a few years ago. It's called Warwick Cove, and that's 14 condominium units, townhouses, two buildings, so I think it's 7 units each. And then to the west of us, there's a small mobile home park, Pine Point Mobile Home Park. It looks like it contains maybe about 20 mobile homes from what I can see. The land next to us, between us and Gull Point, is vacant. So that's the nature of the area. There is the Warwick Coved development was an MR conditional use, similar to what we're asking for tonight. And as I said, the Gull Point development is zoned HR and a marine. So we think that what we're proposing with this application is very consistent with the existing zoning in the area and the density in the area and the uses that are in close proximity to us. And without it, what I'd like to do is turn the presentation over to Gary Couples, who's basically going to go over the site plan of the development with you. Okay, Gary.
Good evening. For the record, my name is Gary Couples. I'm with ECI, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. I'm a professional land surveyor and a professional planner. I think it's interesting to note that this project has been on our screen for perhaps the last 2.5 years. So we've had an awful lot of opportunity to look at this this site and obtain testing that I think is far away from the norm as far as projects of this magnitude. We really wanted to do our homework. That's why the depth of studies are made a part of volume 2 of the submission to you. Some of the things that Jim perhaps just glanced over that I'll try to not bore you with, but just give you some perspective of where we are. With regard to the woodlands, if you look in the in volume 2, there's a phase 1 investigation that has color photographs, and that gives you a flavor for what the woods there look like. They're a mix. There's some specimen trees, and then there's just a smaller diameter and bush understory. It would be the intention of the developer to get in there and clean that out so that it is truly a quality woodland. Right now, it's 11.2 acres. They're going to thin it out and clean it up. There's chicken coops. There's a bunch of stuff. If you look at the phase one, you'll get a flavor for it. It's our intention that there'll be approximately 4.3 acres, or 38% of the woods that will be preserved. In addition to that, it is the intention of the developer, as the project unfolds, to go ahead and install treat trees and other landscaping amenities that will increase that percentage pretty substantially. With regard to the wetlands, the wetland limits are clearly shown on the drawing. And they're exactly where you would expect them to be. They're along the edge of the bank of the river. What we've done is we've provided the 50-foot mandated state buffer. But when you look at the average, we sort of averaged it out. It averages out about 75 feet. Now, it might be a little bit closer here, as you can see between these two duplexes, numbers 1 and 2. But when you get out here, it's closer to 75 feet. So if you average the two, it comes out almost 75 feet on average. It depends on how you want to play with the mathematics. But we've certainly fully respected that woodland or wetland buffer. With regard to open space, obviously this is a waterway development, no question about it. And the significant recreational opportunities are certainly the river. I mean, you have to come to grip with that. Stuff that Mr. Whitaker is going to construct includes a clubhouse here, a swimming pool, a variety of decks, concrete and wood, a tot lot, walking trails that will be, go through the entire project, depots, obviously the river with an existing dock, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit later on, and the potential for a marina. Now, we've already made preliminary, or have had preliminary discussions with DENREC with regard to the establishment of a marina in the same vicinity as the existing dock that's there now. Pictures of that dock are in the environmental site assessment. There's color photographs. And we've taken the bottom samples. We've done some of the preliminary work. There's every reason to believe that that marina will be permitted by DENREC. Obviously, if it is not permitted, we can't do it. But we anticipate that that would be the case. Now, with regard to that marina, it's intended that that would be a green marina. That's something that's prevalent over in the Chesapeake Bay right now. And what that means is that it will be an environmentally friendly marina. There'll be pump-out stations. There'll be things that are done to that marina so that none of the waterways don't get polluted as a result of activities that occur in the marina. So I wanted to bring that to your attention. With regard to the sewer, as it stands right now, the sewer disposal for this project really isn't on the site. It's up here. It's up on this lot here, and you can find pictures again of this area in the environmental site assessment. As it stands right now, it's our belief that only about 50%, if that, will be required for the sewage disposal system, both treatment and the disposal. The soils are just wildly good in that location. It's amazing. And it's so good that they're thinking about doing ribs. So that's as good a treatment system as you're ever going to come across. And again, as a result of the wastewater treatment plant, you're dealing with highly renovated wastewater. In addition, we've already done the TMDL calculation that was referenced in the PLUS letter, and we were able to balance that out in accordance with the state guidelines for inland base. So I think that's another credit to this project. Site access, it's true that we've talked to DLDOT and we have the emergency access, as Mr. Fuqua pointed out. And that was just done at DLDOT's requirement. And what that does is, well, it's either a breakaway gate or we'll give the Indian River Fire Company a key so that they can get in it should there be some emergency that would require that. With regard to stormwater, because this is immediately adjacent to the Indian River, we will be utilizing the dorm model. I think we've had prior discussions about this in other projects that ECI has been involved with. This is the model that the Sussex County Conservation District wants us to use. What it does is it highly renovates the stormwater and before it gets discharged to a tidal source. And that's our intent. And again, it's green technology at its finest, and we're happy to do that. We did prepare an environmental assessment and public facilities evaluation and sketch plan report. That's in Volume 1, Section 6. It addresses all the normal things that one would associate with a project of this nature. Certainly, if there's questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them. I don't think I want to bore you with the details. 99C is pretty much the same thing. We've addressed all of those issues in an affirmative manner. I'm not going to sit here and read that into the record for you. I'm sure you don't want to hear that. With regard to the state planning agency, we've given it to you two ways. We've given you the comments from the state, our response, and then we've also given you consolidated. The consolidated response with what Mr. Johnson likes to see gives the question and the answer. It's all on one page, and that's in volume one. With regard to the cultural resources investigation, as Mr. Fuqua had alluded to, there has been an investigation. In addition to that, because this is the Indian River, we also were involved with the development of a limited phase one where Dr. Otter actually went out and performed some excavation on site. If you read his report, he found some pottery, he's found some tools, that some of which dates back to prehistoric times. It is his opinion, however, that this location was generally used as a seasonal camp. It wasn't something that was year-round, and he doubts very much that there are any unmarked graves there. However, should unmarked graves be uncovered as a result of construction, we would contact Faye Slocum at Denerac and do the appropriate, take whatever appropriate measures the state deems necessary to resolve those issues. So we're looking at that. What was really interesting in Dr. Otter's report is that he feels that there was a ferry here that was in, I think it was 1689, they call it the Warples Ferry, and it left somewhere in this vicinity, he thinks, and it went across the Indian River to Maryland, which, you know, at one time, the other side of the Indian River was considered part of Maryland, so that was pretty interesting stuff. With regard to overall project compatibility with the surrounding area, I think that it's certainly our feeling that the project fits in well with the entire surrounding area. We've written a whole litany of reasons why in the 99.9C. I'm not going to bore you, but again, it is an extension of Oak Orchard and Riverdale, and when you look at the 2 mile radius map, you can see that there's an awful lot of compatible development that is occurring in that area. And we just ask for you to look favorably on this project.
All right, sir. You say?
Let me just add to what Gary said for the record that the road system, of course, will be private road systems built to county standards. There will be sidewalks on both sides of the streets with street lights. At the entrance, there will be, of course, a landscaping done at the entrance. There would basically be one sign for the development, which would just be located at the entrance drive. The marina, again, I know you gentlemen are familiar with the area, the Gull Point and the state facility, as well as Warwick Cove. There are a number of docks that are located along there. What we're considering, subject to permitting by Denrec, would be something similar to that for use by the development. Mr. Whitaker is here now. I guess you saw him come in. I didn't see him come in. I might mention to you, Mr. Whitaker is very familiar with this area. He actually, or one of his companies, was the developer of the Warwick Cove development, which was the 14-unit townhouse development that I mentioned. The only other thing I really want to add is that I do have three sets of documents I want to give out to you. One is proposed findings for the MR change of zone. So that's proposed findings on the MR change of zone. The second one is proposed findings on the conditional use application for the 70 multifamily units. And then also on the conditional use application, I have a list of 12 proposed conditions that, again, they're just proposed, subject to your consideration and whatever you want to add to it on those. So what I'll do is I'll give those to Mr. Lank as I'm finished. I'll give those to Mr. Lank. In summary, the site is located in a growth zone under the comp plan. The development, we believe, is consistent with the existing uses and densities and zoning of other developments in the immediate area. There was appropriate studies performed to assist in designing development in a proper and environmentally sensitive manner, consistent with its location. The site will be served by central water and sewer, and Denrec has issued a letter of feasibility, and DelDOT has issued a entrance, no objection letter. And as I stated, the Office of State Planning has no objection to the proposed development. And gentlemen, with that, that would conclude our presentation, and we'll try to answer any questions you might have.
That's just that. Okay, have that. Need a clean copy.
I'm passing down a copy of this feasibility letter that I referenced. Pass down a copy of the proposed findings on the rezoning. Copy of proposed findings for the conditional use. And the proposed conditions. Passing them down. Thank you, sir.
For me, or am I waiting for you?
I think you're waiting for me, or you're waiting. I'm waiting for you.
Well, actually, I'm
finished.
Oh, that's what all I wanted to know. If you're done, then we'll continue. I was not sure if you were in a moment of silence or meditative prayer or what. But anyway, we thank you for your presentation, and we'll see if anyone on the commission has any questions for you. I suspect there might be one or two, and we'll start with you, Mr. Johnson.
Well, Mr. Chairman, in all fairness to Mr. Fuqua, I did heard him say that he was done with his presentation. So,
well, I guess
so at least one of us heard him say that.
I guess I was thinking about something else.
Okay. That's me. And for the record, Mr. Chairman, I did receive a copy of the facts from Constance Holland with State Planning Coordination. And Mr. Fuqua said, I do note that there was no objections to the development, but I like just in that same sentence, as they stated there, they did have some comments and concerns, and I'll address those in time. Mr. Fuqua, earlier in the presentation, we're talking about the amount of open space that was being proposed. How much open space is being proposed when you do not include the sewer disposal area?
What's the size of that, Gary?
Pardon me?
What's the size of the sewer?
That's 6.35 acres.
Is the sewer. But, I mean, what's the, how much open space would there be on the southeastern side of?
Well, the total is 22 acres, so take 6 from that, so that'd be about 16 acres. 16 acres on the south side.
Right.
And then
of that 16 acres, how much is it? Would you consider as open space? I'm trying to get a sense of how much open space is there where all the townhouses and
16.
Condos are. How much?
Sixteen is a total site.
How much of the condominium area is going to be considered open space?
Okay. Well, as it stands right now, about 6 acres is developed as buildings and roads. That calculation is at the bottom of the preliminary sheet. So if you take the 6 acres from the 16, you still have about 10 acres that is open space or area that is developed to recreation.
Okay, thank you.
Before we get too far, we took the 6.5 acre, or 3.5
acres. Mr. Couples,
out.
If you would, yeah, if you'd come to the microphone.
We took the 6.35 acres out, and that's that area, the offsite area.
Right.
As I discussed
earlier in my presentation, we're thinking only about half of that's going to be associated with the sewer, with sewer disposal. At this point, we're based upon the investigations, the in-depth soil investigations that we have now. We feel that the capacity to serve this development exists in about 50% of this. So you could probably, it might be closer to 13, Mike. I don't, again, we haven't done the mounding analysis, and which is additional soils work at this point. But right now, the soils are looking like half of that site's going to be open space.
Okay, on all right, on the northeasterly side of that road, right
here.
So, and if the county comes along and provides sewer service to this project, what would you envision happening with that parcel?
I don't know.
Okay. And that parcel is only intended to serve this one project. It's not. We're not going to have one of these CPUs serving multiple projects.
At this point, we've not had any discussions with anybody other than Tidewater for water, and we know that we have to have a public utility to run the sewage treatment plant and disposal site. That's where we're at.
Okay. And staying with that site, if you do have the sewer treatment plant there, how would you envision screening or landscaping? So it doesn't look like just a...
It's not going to look like a wastewater treatment plant. It's going to be in a building. It's going to look something akin to a horse barn. Probably the best example is along Route 9 coming towards Georgetown. One of our projects is the retreat.
Uh-huh.
Very similar to that.
Okay.
But we won't have the hex signs on either side.
in your... book there was talking about the improvements to the road on Blue Claw Road. Are you talking about improvements just along your property line, or where would the improvements would you see on that on the Blue Claw Road? I'll stumble on that words a lot.
It's a mouthful. As it stands right now, in the discussions that we've had with DelDOT, they're looking for us to upgrade our frontage, which includes the parcel across the street, this thing here. So it starts here and ends here.
And with this site, would you envision much soil being either brought to or taken away from the project?
No, there's no need to do that. I don't know if you've been on the property, but the property slopes from the back at Blue Claw towards the river. There's a lot of soil. No, there's really just not a need to import or export.
So you're not envisioning a lot of heavy truck traffic on those roads?
No.
Okay.
And if you've been down there, and I think I know you have, because I think you said that on the radio last week that you were going to be heading down there after you got off the radio.
I was there.
It's very high. It's almost a bluff where it kind of slopes down toward the water at the southern end of it.
It's a beautiful piece of property. Any planned road improvements along Warwick Road?
DelDOT has not asked for any. Obviously, if they do, we will make those improvements.
I think other than some additional road
dedication. They're looking for roadway dedication. But as far as improvements, they just haven't asked for any.
Okay. And I would assume that there's no on-site storage of boats and RVs on this property, so those folks that would be using the marina would have to find off-season storage elsewhere?
There's enough boat storage facilities within the immediate vicinity that's just not going to be a problem.
We did consider that on the piece on the north side, and we decided not to do that.
And now I'll go to the plus comments or the response to the Anyhow, I do appreciate how you put it together in terms of their comments and your comments. It does make it easier than, as you know, than my flipping back between multiple reports. One of the things they did talk about was the potential for interconnectivity between your project here and the open space that would be to your east.
That's Mr. Rogers' piece of ground.
Okay.
I had discussions with Mr. Rogers, not only about this, but also about, I'm sure you know that Mr. Rogers is also in the bulkhead and dock building business. I think he's right here, matter of fact. He indicated that there was no feeling from his side of the fence to have that developed.
Okay. But that's, you could potentially provide a stub street in order to, if that was to happen in the future?
Mike, if that was to happen, we could provide it here.
Okay. And I'll go to the section on the buffers from the wetlands and the water bodies. I know we've always had the discussion about the 100 feet versus the 50 feet, and I appreciate you providing that shot in the 50 feet setback. But one of the things they talked about was our concern, I guess, from the state was about the river not being used as a stormwater outlet. Is that part of your plan design or?
Well, as it stands right now, this site, like many of all the properties along the Indian River, drain to the Indian River. That's just a fact of life. What we're doing, when I talked about the Durham model, is we're using bioswales, we're using very modern technology to clean up the stormwater before it gets there. In addition to that, we do have a stormwater management pond here, again, we don't have a requirement for the quantity. But we have a requirement for quality. We're going to make that quality standard hands down. No if, ands, or buts about. We're not going to be discharging any more water to the Indian River to what currently goes there now. And perhaps the water quality may even be better. It's not going to be any worse. It's probably going to be better.
Okay. And I also noted that there were some concerns about the increase in nitrogen and phosphorus when you're talking about the TMDLs, and that was addressed in the plus comments to you. Have you looked into that in terms of how you can mitigate those issues?
We did a TMDL analysis. That's a full color exhibit in your book. We were able to zero it out.
Okay.
So we've met that requirement.
I have no further questions at this time, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. Mr. Burton?
All my questions have been answered.
All right, sir. Mr. Smith?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, gentlemen. Is there any way of offering any centralized amenities on this site? I'm noticing that I'm thinking that's possibly maybe 1,000 feet from some of the dwellings up to the north from down at the pool and clubhouse.
There could be a tot lot or like a gazebo kind of area located further north, but the whole design here was to get that amenity down, obviously where the best view was on the site for people to enjoy the lookout over the river and things of that nature. So that certainly was intentional.
Well, if I can comment on that, Mr. Smith, when we first looked at this project, initially we looked at centrally locating the community center. That would have resulted in additional roadway. It would have resulted in more parking. It would have resulted in more trees going. And it is just, after thinking about it, it made just so much more sense to put it down along the river where there aren't so many trees and to do it. But what we did is we did provide the walking trails, and we do have gazebos at two locations dead center in the middle of the project. But if it was the Planning Commission's desire for us to put a tot lot maybe in the center there, we could do that very, very easily. Matter of fact, we could take this tot lot that is we have planned adjacent to the clubhouse and move it anywhere we want. So we'd be amenable to do that if that was something that you folks wanted us to do. We weren't happy to do that.
And if we didn't, make that a stipulation. Is there adequate parking then if people did drive down? Someone said, look, I'm not going to walk, you know, the quarter mile or whatnot, that down there by the pool and clubhouse area.
We feel that there is. We've met the requirements of Sussex County. The marina itself is primarily for the people that live here, assuming we're able to achieve the permit for a marina. If not, there's plenty of parking. And you know what else is we have provided pedestrian, I mean, an excellent pedestrian access to all of those facilities. We did that deliberately. Quite frankly, with the price of gas going to $4 a gallon, probably people are going to be riding their bikes and walking more in developments like this. And this is truly a self-sustaining type project where it's a destination. The people that live here, they're probably going to come there and they're going to stay there. Now, I live on the river up further, and you know what? On the weekends, I don't go out. I hang out in the river.
Right. That did bring me a question that I had. Will there be security around the swimming pool? I noticed that the tot lot was very close to that. Would it be something that public safety?
Absolutely.
All right.
Swimming pools, they have to be fenced by state law. A county ordinance too, right?
Yeah.
In your appendix, as you noted, that you really don't think that you'd be attracting people that would have school-aged children, but the question being, if the school district requested a school bus stop in the vicinity of the entrance, can that be accommodated?
Yeah.
We can do that.
Yeah, and that's normally what we've been doing, is contacting them after approvals and at the time of the site plan to see where they'd want it located.
Your assessment report indicated that there were some factors that did show a need for a phase two environmental assessment. I guess you'll be following up with that. Is that correct?
We were able to resolve those.
You were?
Mm-hmm.
How about there was an underground 2,000-gallon tank?
They're going to be removed.
It'll be removed and accordingly. Thank you. You cleared up the question of if there were any indigenous individuals' graves or anything that was found on the site, you'll contact the appropriate. Yes. The something that the commission has done on a few subdivisions of late in areas like this is we've asked if the developer, if it was favorably acted upon, contact Edna Setzer to reevaluate the property if the start of the property is a year past her letter. Her letter was dated on the November of 2005, just to give them an opportunity to recatalog any possible endangers. Is that something you gentlemen see as reasonable? As well as, now Bill McAvoy has not contacted requesting any site visit, is that correct?
No.
But your response says if that did come up, you're...
What we do on all of our projects with the participants in PLUS, we invite them to the site. Well, all we simply ask is that they, in writing, request, tell us when they're going to be there so we can be there with them, really. And nobody's contacted us.
Okay. When I visited the site, I got a sense, and I clearly could be wrong, but when I went to the end of Warwick Road, it appeared as though that might be a boat ramp, launching area, sort of ad hoc kind of.
At the end of the road?
Yeah. Yes. And I don't know if it may or may not be sanctioned, if it's just sort of a easement by necessity, but would you gentlemen, if the development were acted favorably on, would your neighbors be good neighbors with the people that probably have historically been using that to launch their John boats and speed boats?
Yeah, perhaps small boats can get in there. But again, within a couple hundred yards of here is the state boat ramp, which is a maintained boat ramp there. So there's really no need for that if it's a larger boat.
We're not going
That's
to
the
impact
game warden.
On that.
Sometimes the game wardens that.
Is there?
That okay.
There might be some truth to that. Sure.
You apparently know more about this than I do.
I've been told.
I interrupted you.
No, we have no problem with that. I'm more certainly intend to be good neighbors.
All right. That's all, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Mr. Lang.
What's the length of the existing dock, plus or minus?
I'm going to say that it's probably about 75 feet.
Is that got additional slips set aside, or just basically
it's got four.
A dock? Four slips. And the proposed marina size as far as number of slips?
24 to 25.
And Lawrence, the plan does show the extent of the existing dock on the site plan.
I believe, Mr. Couples, you stated that the marina is intended to be to serve the project if you can get enough residents to utilize the marina.
Quite candidly, Lawrence, I don't think that there'd be a problem with that. I would note slips.
And the findings or conditions suggested by Mr. Fuqua that there was no reference to the marina. And just curiosity gets me on some of these projects. If I was to develop this same property in a subdivision, approximately how many lots could I get? Standard subdivision.
If you would just do an AR?
Yeah, AR. Or you can get the AR, MR, either one.
Well, in theory, you should be able to get four to the acre.
As MR.
As MR.
Right. But you haven't sat down and tried to just sketch up what it might look like.
We weren't quite, our client wasn't interested in developing.
That's fine. I was just curious. That's all I have, gentlemen.
All right, Mr. Counts.
Just a couple of questions I'd like to get clarified. You know, I went to the PLUS meeting where you presented this.
Mm-hmm.
And at that,
I'll turn this around.
At the PLUS meeting and in the sketch plan that you had there, you estimated the buffer area and the tidal boundary, and it showed an inlet area there. I don't know how to describe it. That doesn't show up on your drawing here, but it shows up on the sketch. Yeah, it shows up on the sketch there.
It wasn't jurisdictional.
But is it state wetland?
Neither.
Okay. You found that was further.
But we were sort of guessing.
Right. And it says estimated. Right. So from the maps at DENREC, you were able to determine the state wetland boundary?
From DENREC, but also the federal line, which we've applied for a jurisdictional delineation, just not a wetland.
Right. Well, you know the county's line is different than...
The state line is different from the federal line.
Right. And then, this is the finalized.
This is the one.
Okay. And then you got the 50-foot buffer there, and I noticed that you were going to monument the wetland boundary and stuff, and that's good.
We're putting carcinite markers in.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I didn't see any description of the buffer. As our ordinance requires that it be a vegetated buffer, and I didn't see any discussion about how you were going to vegetate it or plant it or whatever. Are you going to make any improvements to the buffer?
Quite candidly, if you leave it alone, I think it'll naturally take care of itself. It truly is a wetland buffer.
Right.
Does the wetland buffer have to be vegetated?
It's described as an existing naturally vegetated or an area purposely established in vegetation. So, yes, it's a vegetated buffer.
Well, I think the natural vegetation, as you know, with salt water, not a lot can grow in that zone.
But I guess my point is you're not going to cut it to be just a grass mowed lawn. It's going to be allowed to naturally vegetate. Because obviously the purpose of that is to help filter the water that's going out, sheet flowing, as you were describing earlier, from the site to the river.
It's going to remain in a natural state. There was no intention of landscaping it or anything like that in there.
Okay. All right. And the other thing, I noticed you were pretty thorough in your comments, in your response to PLUS, but one omission that I didn't see written, but maybe you've addressed it and maybe you could summarize it here. You're asking for rezoning. The environmentally sensitive district requires that if there's an increase in density as a result of a rezoning, that the applicant document or explain what environmental safeguards are being taken to address the increase in density and the increased impact on the environment. And maybe if you could kind of summarize, I know you probably addressed it as you talked about different things, but if, on that specific issue of the environmental safeguards as a result of the increased impact of the density, if you could.
Well, again, that. I mean, just to summarize it, which is really things we've already mentioned, obviously the buffer, which is required, we have a greater buffer than is the statutory required amount. The amount of open space, however it's determined, whether it's 70% for the entire site or the portion that is just on the south side, again, is significant. The preservation, the way it's designed, was trying, I think the number was 38% of the existing woods are being preserved, which obviously is not just a visual benefit, but also has environmental benefits in terms of the groundwater and the effect of the development. Again, that central sewer will be provided and things of that nature.
One of the other big issues, not to prolong this, is that instead of having our wastewater disposal down across the river, we've taken it a long ways away.
Right. Okay. Thank you. That's all.
Okay. Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Council?
No, none. Mine have been answered. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
I have another question.
Sorry, sir.
And you may have addressed this in your opening remarks, but am I correct in that you're intending to have a landscape or forested buffer surrounding the property on the Warwick Road side as well as obviously along the Blue Claw?
All right, on the east and west sides of the property.
So unlike Gall Point, when you drive along the backside of it, you're not planning to have a cyclone fence with plastic strips in it?
No.
Thank you.
There's just no way.
Unless you make it a condition.
I like your trees. Thank you. That's it.
Good. Thank you.
All right, gentlemen, we thank you. Take a seat nearby. We'll see if anyone has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of change of zone number 1637 and conditional use number 1775, East Market LLC? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to change of zone number 1637 and conditional use number 1775? All right, sir. Please come forward, give us your name, and you may have the floor.
My name is Darrell Patterson. I own the adjoining property right next to the sewer plant they're proposing to put in.
Okay.
What more can I say? I'm going to be looking at a sewer. I was under the understanding that if this development went through, that they would have to widen the road. That's one of my questions. I don't know when you can answer that. But the property next to that is 4 acres. That's my farm. I farm it. I have farm animals. My family's been farming for 250 years since the country's been started. That's what I want to do. And it's just a beautiful area. It's not, you know, commercialized like everything else. Everybody around there, which is all my neighbors behind me, are interested in keeping it that way. I'm not interested in giving up any of my property to widen the road or anything like that. You know, I hear lots of things that they're proposing with this thing, and you know, to say that the water from all their streets and all their houses running into the river will be cleaner when it goes in is ridiculous. I mean, you would have to suck all that water up in a sewer system and take it to the treatment plant and treat it before it went into the river to you know, be cleaner than it went in. There's more things, I just can't think of them right now. Just the volume and traffic. I mean, how can you not improve all of the roads out to the main road to house 70 units with 140 cars or more, two times a day, traveling to and from work? If the project goes through, they'll have to widen the road, and then they'll take my property. Thank you.
Richard, thank you. Anyone else? Okay. All right, sir. And then you, sir, after you're next.
Yeah, I'm Johnny Rogers, and I'm one of the adjoining the farm on the Downs farm next to it. Mm-hmm. I'm just not in favor. We've tried, me and my brother and sister, to preserve this farm in my grandfather's name, and we've bought 2 acres out, and I'm just kind of hesitant to see a mess more people coming in and building high rises next to us or whatever they're going to do. So you might say I'm not in favor of it, but you can't stop development. You're the only ones who can do that. I know there's a lot more traffic going. The first thing's going to happen when we start tilling that land, when the guy tills it, they're going to be complaining about the dust, and that's what I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Outside of that, that needs me.
All right, sir. Thank you. Yes, sir. You.
My name is Wayne Miller, and I own property adjacent to this, between this and between Gold Point also, and I had 3 concerns about this. The main one is my property value. There's no way that I can own property next to a sewer and it increased the value of my property. I used to own property out next to the trash dump that's existing now. I owned it before they put the trash dump in. My property value sank when they put the trash dump in there. I got a feeling, I'm pretty well sure it's going to do the same thing when I get a sewer close to me also, because nobody wants to live to a sewer no more than they want to live next to a trash dump. Second point is traffic on Route 24. I have to go to Route 24 every day to go to work. It is ridiculous trying to get on Route 24 right now in the summertime. I mean, it's a very crowded road, and you put another 70 units in there next to me, I don't know how much trouble it's going to be to get on and off of that road. And the third point that I'd like to make to you was my brother-in-law brought up also, is the farming of that. If you do approve this, you need to make some sort of exemption for the farmer for dirt and noise and all that. You've got to protect our farmers. We are still a farming community, and the man that farms this is a friend of ours, and he's just trying to make a living like the rest of us. And I have noticed in other parts of the county that when developments go in next to farms, they just start complaining about the noise in the morning and the dust and stuff like that. If this is approved, then there needs to be some sort of protection for the farms. And that's all I had to say. Thank you for your time.
Okay. Well, I'm going to ask our council to comment on the Right to Farm Act, which protects all farmers everywhere. So you want to give it like 25 words or less on?
Well, certainly, as part of the subdivision ordinance, if a project is adjacent to property that's used for agricultural purposes, there's the agricultural use protection notice that would go into the restrictive covenants. And it says that any purchaser of the property acknowledges that there's agricultural uses in the vicinity, which includes noise, dust, odors, perhaps nighttime farming operations, the types of things that you folks have spoken of. Since this is a conditional use, it's not required to go in there, but the commission has the ability to require that as one of the conditions of approval if they chose to approve it. And typically what that would mean is that it would be on the final site plan that's recorded. And also, I know in the past the commission's required it to be in the condominium documents. So that way, anybody who bought a property there would be on notice that there's farming operations next door and really couldn't complain, because they would, even if they really knew it or not, they're on what's called constructive notice that farming operations occur next door with, like I said, noise, dust, odors, you know, farming operations year-round. So that's the kind of thing that the commission can include as part of their approval, if they decide to approve it.
Thank you, sir.
That was about 75 words.
Oh, you did fine. Yes, sir. You did fine. And I can assure you that if it were approved, those notices would be required.
My name is James Farmer, and I live two lots down from 2 acres down from his property. And my cousin, the Barentines, lived next door to me. Been living there all their lives. My mother lives there. And he's a very sick person. And whenever they have an accident on that bad part of the highway on the main road 24, they exit the traffic around through us. When the traffic comes around through us, they have to run up on our property and on the other people's property because traffic can't go both ways. When they, it's a bad bend right there at Warwick Road where they had the bad accidents at, right there between Warwick Road, between them two junctions. It's Riverdale Road and 310. But when an accident happens, it divert the traffic to come right down Blue Claw Lane, right around and out through and back through the little exit. But when traffic comes, I've been living there since I was a little kid with my mother. You can't even get out. Traffic's so thick, when it's dual traffic coming, they have to actually run up on the property lines. Because now they made us put the mailboxes on there. Now there's no room that an ambulance, to, when the paramedics come up there, and an ambulance, you can't even get your car down the road with the paramedics. So they're going to have to widen that road in order to make it feasible for the they're talking about to open it down for that end. What's going to happen if the traffic can't go out that way because of a terrible accident? They got to come down this way. Nobody has talked about the east end of that project, what faces that way. And my mother's house, it sits the closest to the edge of the road. It's no further than 10 feet from the highway, from 310A. You know, so if they open up the highway, what are we going to do as far as traffic? Right now, we have a problem right now. The school bus comes through. And another car, you got to actually pull off the road to let the school bus come through. The road is just not that wide. The road used to be a little dust lane road, and it's not wide enough. And if you open it up any further, you have to tear the front porch off of a house. You have to actually move some telephone poles out the way. I mean, there's no way you can do it. I mean, I have to sit there and watch traffic come through there so much that you couldn't even get out your driveway. You just had to stay home until the accident was cleaned up. They had an accident down there where it cut a pole down 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. Traffic came around. It's so thick, traffic, they had to have a fire marshal down there to stop traffic so it can come one way in and stop them on that end so they can come this way. They couldn't come both side by side. So what are they going to do with the traffic as far as it leaving from this development going, nobody's talking about it going east. All they're doing is talking about it going west. I crab down here on this road. When duck hunting season come time, they park their boats on that main road because it's a state-maintained place where they duck rent. The boats are parked all the way around there, all the way back up, all the way to Mr. Dant, to his property, where people park their trailers on there. So what are you going to do with them people who go duck hunting? Where are they going to park their boats at? Where are they going to park it? They already got a valley for the water to run off at, and that's where they're parking the boats at, and they can't park them in there, so they park them around the corner. So, I mean, I know a lot of duck hunters. I mean, Ducks Unlimited, there's about 25, 30 boats parked there. What are they going to do about it? I mean, the development is not bad, but it's just in the wrong location. There's not enough opening. The trailer park across the street is called Tall Pines. They have so many, it's more than 20 trailers in there. It's about 30. When they come out of there, a school bus parks there. You can't even turn out until the school bus gets the kids on. The school bus got to back up to turn around. So what are you going to do with that many more houses and that many more people there? I'm pretty sure there's some people who were having kids there. That's what they said when they had Gulls Point. No children. I know people got children there because the bus drops them off there. So, you know, I'm just asking you. Nobody's taking on consideration the road running to the east. Everybody's talking about the road running to the west. If they do go into a phase two to widen the roads, that means that my mother's house would be sitting right in the road. And they can't open the road on the other side because that road there is closed also. So that's my concerns, and I have a letter from the Barentons certified.
Sure, you would hand that to Mr. Lank over there.
Thank you.
And then the neighbors, because the paramedic trucks come there at least once a month to pick him up. He has heart surgery. They cannot bring the fire truck, the paramedic truck, or the 911 truck. They have to park them in our yard because they can't get down the road. They just say this road's so narrow they can't even turn around. They have to leave them to take him out in a smaller ambulance. Mm-hmm. So what are they going to do with this much traffic down that road? That road has to be widened. And there's no way they can do it that I see of. And that's my view, and they go a letter I bought certified by my neighbors, you know. So I just want you to take and give me some kind of input. I know my neighbors will want no input. What are we going to do about they use our road as the access road for traffic to flow? And in the summertime, I don't know if you ever lived in that area, 24 is the most highly volume road. When there's an accident, the only way they can get from around that corner to go back out with a golf cart whirl is to come past our house. Sometimes you can count 300 or 400 cars until they clean the accident up. Where are, and he's talking about trucks. We got trash truck comes down through there. Come see the road. The road all right until it, just from a trash truck. It's never been a paved road. It was just a tar and chip road, old sand tar and chip road. These heavy trucks is going to crash the roads in. It's going to be a mess. I mean, you should come see the place where he's talking about the buffer. If I can look at it and show you, this is where I crab at. This buffer right here, I've been crabbing since I was a little boy there. There's nothing but cement blocks somebody has put in there years ago to make a buffer so the dirt wouldn't fall down the hill. There's nothing but mussels all inside of these cement blocks. What are you going to do, tear all of them out too? There's a tree there. Has a big eagle's nest in it. You gonna tear that down? I walk in that place hunting for bottles and stuff. There's some owls that lives in there. Deers live in there. There's only so many woods that these animals are getting pushed away. That's why they're getting out in the highways. And you know, it's just getting ridiculous that everybody's caring about opening up the development and not caring about the people who's been living there all their lives. And it seems like the older people, they want to put them in the old folks' homes so they can make more economy. I think that sometimes people need to look at the older people and say, you know, these people have been living here all these many years. Let's try to help them out some and make it easier. How's that going to make it easier with 70 units with these people living like this? He can't even take a loud noise. I mean, this is really, really going too far. You know, everybody, I've been sitting here listening. Everybody's been talking about the west side. What is their plans for the east side of that road? That's what I'd like to know. What are they going to do for emergency? Fire truck can't even come down the road. When they come down the road, they're just taking the whole road right up. What are they going to do? They're going to have to run fire hydrants down through there. There's no way of digging. So how are they going to put the fires out and stuff? You know, tanker trucks. And I mean, this is someone who's been living there for a long while. I've been living there. I know this area like the back of my hand. I knew Gulls Point before it was even there. I mean, this here is a very small, I know you pretty well know what 310 is. It's a small road. You can't even make that turn down there without dropping down in that hole right there where that plastic fence is at. I don't pull a lot of cars out of there with my truck. So, you know, what are we going to do with that, you know? That's all I wanted to know, you know, and talking about far as diverting the water. If you ever come out there on a rain and just sit, you just see how much water runs down that hill. So much water runs down and you cannot walk down that hill. That's how much water runs from the highland down the hill into the where they do duck hunting. And plus it's going to mess up where the boats come around because it's a nice place in there to crab. It's mussels, a lot of life in there. Fish is coming back in there. It's the cleanest I've ever seen that water in there. When they put Gulls Point up over there before, they said, we're just going to put it up. Everybody can use it. What they do, they put a fence down through there. Don't want nobody over there on them docks. They said, you can use them docks over there. I went through this before. You can use them docks, what they did. Private. You can't go over on these docks. Use the state pier. Now when you go to the state pier, there's more people on the state pier from out of town, from out of Gulls Point, that the people from around the area can't, we ain't got no place to crab. So what are they going to do down there? They said that's going to be open to the public? That's not going to be open to the public. They're not going to let people from around there just go over on the pier and just go fishing and crabbing. It's not going to be that. You know, I just wanted to know, could they give me an example of what they're going to do? What plans have they thought about if they ran into a difficulty? What are they going to do with the east side of that road? And that's all I have to say.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, the letter that was turned in from Mrs. Barrington apologizes for them not being able to attend due to her husband's illness. They basically state that we do not approve of this project, the concerns of our property and of our neighbors. And that Mr. Farmer would be submitting that letter on their behalf.
All right, sir. Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak? Yes, sir.
Well, my name's Wayne Rogers, and my brother, My sister owned a property on the east side of this. It's a farm now. We've been trying to preserve it. It's a nice place. It's a nice place to, it's just a peaceful place. And I grew up on the river, and I know that the river, I don't think, can take much more. We've got enough developments. I mean, I think anybody who wants to live on the Indian River could probably go buy a place right now, because there's enough of them for sale down there. Warwick Cove, I don't think they're still vacant. I don't see where many of those have been sold. So I don't know. We just keep tearing up more nice property, and I don't know. Once it's gone, it's gone. And this is a peaceful place that we live in right now. I don't actually even live there. I live in Long Neck. We have property up there. We could build a house up there. I'm a builder. That's what I do for a living. I build houses. And I just like to keep things like they are. It's just nice to have some place left where you can actually go and relax. The river's just so overcrowded right now. It's not going to take much more. Like I say, I grew up as a kid there. I fished and crabbed, and I've been in that river all my life. And I'm totally against it. So that's all I have to say.
All right, sir. We appreciate it. Anyone else like to speak? Yep, one trip to a customer, sir. I'm sorry.
I just wanted one more comment. Sorry.
That's all right. We got you.
And yes, sir. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Steve Vegas. I live in Seaford, Delaware, but I'm very, very familiar with this piece of property, which it has some slopes that would reach probably 8%. I'm not quite sure what the exact grade of the slope is, but from what he was saying as far as erosion control, said they were just going to use grass waterways and leave a semi-riparian buffer. I think the stormwater pond was mentioned that there's no rule of thumb for quantity, just quality. And there is a rule of thumb as far as surface area impacted, which is not recharging the groundwater system, that where it needs to hold water for a certain amount of days to let sediment settle out. And also, as far as the unimpacted area around the river, there should be more design as far as erosion control, as far as what I see.
Well, what, and I'm not offering this by way of defense, I'm just offering this to help you understand the process here. What you see here is the beginning, not the end.
Okay.
You know, none of those things that you've mentioned have been designed yet, and you can kind of understand that because these folks would kind of like to get an approval before they do all the, you know, do all the fine tuning that goes along with that. Because you're right, there are I think rules of thumb might not be a strong enough expression. There are some very hard and fast rules about how much water can go where and what the quality of it has to be. So, so I don't want you to feel that this was the last thing that anybody was going to see.
Okay. Just as far as wildlife concerns, that is a big mm-hmm. concern as far as the development on bodies of water, as far as any kind of wildlife. Just it's diminishing every day. Just thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of your Thursday evening and see if we make a decision, or you may call the office in the morning.